Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, and it's chapter 14. I'm reading from verses 15 to 31. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 31. Sense the Lord here today. And as we listen to these words of reassurance from the lips of Jesus to his followers, let's listen to these words of his to us today as well. They're for us. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you'll realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you'd be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." Let's pray together. Our God and Father, we thank you for these gracious, comforting, loving words from the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you give us the Bible not just for our information, but more importantly, for our transformation, to change us, to make us your children, more like your own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that you would send your Spirit now to help Jeff preach well and to help us listen well. For our good and for your glory, this we ask in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, Jeff.
Thanks, Graham. Brilliant. Thank you so much for that prayer. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be together this morning, is it not, in worship and on Zoom as well, and the live stream. Welcome, everyone. It's a real privilege for me to get this opportunity just to share from this passage this morning. It's, as you know, part of our series at the moment. We're into the fourth week of a Digging Deeper series. And I just wonder where you are in this. Digging deeper into our relationship with God, digging deeper into our relationship with others. Where are you with this, I wonder? Where am I? Where are we in all of this? I wonder if we're going deeper, or are we still in the shallows? You know, as the waters come up to your ankles, are you splashing about in the shallows, so to speak. Or maybe you've gone a little deeper, maybe you're up to your knees in it, or your waistline maybe in all of this. You know, half in and half out, not quite sure yet. Where are you? Or maybe you're up to your neck in it. You know, sometimes the work that we're called to do is not easy. You know, we're struggling. In the church life, it can be quite challenging. When we've taken on a job or two jobs or three jobs and we feel overwhelmed a bit. Where are you in this? Or are you swimming? Are you swimming in the river of God's grace? For that's where God wants us to be. That's where he calls us to be. He says, take a chance with me. Swim with me. Get out of your depth with me. All will be well. Now, this is a process, of course, for all of us individuals. One step at a time. Gradually. But we mustn't stay in the shallows. We mustn't stay in that half in and half out. And we certainly mustn't stay with our necks up to here. With the worries and the concerns of this, that and the other. We must allow God. We must get into God. We must push into God. And the passage before us this morning encourages that. This is Jesus teaching his own disciples about the Holy Spirit. If you want to know anything about the Holy Spirit, listen to Jesus and what he has to say to us this morning. The Life of Jesus Unlocked is the title that was given to me this morning. And the key to the unlocking of a deeper relationship with Jesus, with God, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key. He will open the door and he will allow us and enable us to find ourselves in him. You know, we can know our Bibles backwards, but if we don't know the Holy Spirit, well, we can have the best evangelism system in the church. We can have the greatest worship band and leaders. We can have the best pastoral care system, if you like. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit, if we're not spirit-filled, if we're not centered on him, Christ-centered church, Christ-centered life, then we have nothing. God tells us we can do nothing without him. Nothing of any real consequence anyway. Nothing of any real worth or significance. The Holy Spirit is the key to a power-filled Christian life. Where are you in all of this? In the shallows, splashing about on the edges? Or are you swimming? For this is God's will for us. That we should be fully immersed in him in order to survive this life that we live. In this passage we find Jesus continuing to encourage and to help and to comfort his disciples and to prepare them for what's to come. It's amazing, despite the fact that in a few hours' time he'll be arrested. He'd be tried, falsely tried. He'd be flogged to near death. He'd be ridiculed. He'd be stripped naked. He'd be dragged along the streets and crucified on a cross. And despite all that, his only concern is for his disciples and their care. He's more concerned for them than he is for himself. Don't you just love him? Don't you just love the Lord Jesus? He's so full of compassion for you. He's so full of kindness and understanding and love for you. Not for himself, but for you and for me. Isn't it wonderful? Don't you just love him? When I've always had this feeling about Jesus. Whenever I hear his name, my stomach sort of turns. Not in sickness, but in joy. Do you know? I've always had that. I don't know where that thought comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit, I suppose. But when I hear the word Jesus, where we look at him and think about him and sing about him, I just get so raised up. The Lord Jesus is such a wonderful man and such a brilliant God. He gives his life that we might live. I just love him, don't you? Now, I don't know everything about everyone here this morning, but I do know this about most of us here. We've had our problems. We've had our disappointments. We've had our sorrows, I'm sure. We've had our struggles. What Jesus promises his disciples, he promises us in those times. The Holy Spirit, in the Greek, is parakletos, the paraclete. It's a wonderful Greek word. It means light in dark times. And if we look at the aspects of the Holy Spirit a little, he comes as an advocate, someone who's going to stand up for us, who's going to defend us, if you like, in the courts of God. He's going to say, I know, Father, but, you know, I know this man. You know, forgive him. He's one of ours. He's an advocate. You know, so I think one of the hardest things for us as Christians sometimes is to believe that God loves us. Because we know ourselves, don't we? We know what we're like, don't we? And you think, how can he do that? How can he die for me? I don't deserve that. Do you? I know I don't. I'm the only one, am I? Surely not. God loves us. We have to believe that. He's proved that. He died on the cross that we might know that. He's an advocate. He stands in heaven and defends us. No condemnation for us. What? Really? Absolutely. Absolutely. The other aspect, of course, is helper and comforter and counselor. These are all words that sort of are needed in times of darkness. A helper, a comfort, someone who will comfort us in times of distress and sadness and sorrow and grief. And a counselor someone who understands what I'm going through in my head. We have a counselor in Christ. We have a comforter. We have a helper, an intercessor, and an advocate. The Holy Spirit, the Paracletos, he is the light in the darkness. He is the calm in the storm. Do you know this? Or are you still splashing about in the shadows, on the sidelines, half in, half out, up to here with it? Or are you swimming? Are you swimming in the river of God's grace, so to speak? In verse 15, we find this. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love him? Keep my commandments. It's not difficult, you know, is it? If you think about it, to keep his commandments if we love him. It's not difficult. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. This is not something that we have to earn. This is not an earning, like we'll keep his commandments and then he'll love us. This is how he loves us, so we keep his commandments. It's not hard to love him. You know, the only command he really gives us is love. He says, one commandment I give unto you, love one another. Love your brother, love your sister, love your enemy. Love one another. Keep my command of love. It's not that difficult, surely, although it can be very difficult, can't it? If you love me, keep my commandment. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love God and love your neighbor in the same way. Love God, love your neighbor. And then he says in verse 16, and then I will come to you. I will ask the Father and he will send another advocate to help you and be with you. Now the word another here is important to flag up for us in our understanding. The word another means same as. There are two words in the Greek which I've got somewhere. Two words in the Greek. One is, that means another. Helios, which is different from. You know, there's another person's coming, but he's different from. Helios. And there's the other word is allos. A-L-L-O-S. Which is same as. And the word here is allos. Same as. So I'm flagging that up because I want you to understand the Holy Spirit is Jesus. It's Jesus himself. Come in the power of the Holy Spirit now. Not as a human being, of course. We can't see him, but we can receive him. He's now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that Jesus rose from the dead, went to heaven in the ascension, that he could send down the Holy Spirit, that we living here in this century might know of his presence for our salvation in our lives. Allos, same as. Emphatically means Jesus, just as the same as. So, you know, when people say, oh, you know, I wish I could have lived in the time of Jesus. Do you ever hear anyone say that? Do you say that? I sometimes say that. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have walked the streets with him, to have sat and listened to him, to actually have had food with him and ate with him, and we would have been able to discuss with him. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? Well, of course it would. It would have been unbelievably wonderful. Of course it would. But, you know, if we are thinking like that, we are not understanding what the Holy Spirit is really all about. We have Jesus with us now. I know it's not quite the same, but it's better in lots of ways. It's more powerful. It's more far-reaching. Of course, it would have been wonderful to have walked with him. That's why we go to Israel. I went to Israel a few times. It's actually wonderful to think I'm walking in his footsteps. It's great. But, you know, we have him now. That's the same as. I will send another advocate, exactly the same as it's Jesus himself. I will ask the Father, and he will send another advocate. In verse 18 and 20, it's sort of what proof of what I'm trying to say. I will not leave you. I will not leave you. Same as. I will not leave you as orphans. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? I will not leave you as orphans. If we're not careful, we can stay as orphans and not accept God as our Holy Father and Jesus as our Savior. We can. We can remain as orphans the whole of our life. But Jesus, one of the promises of God, I will not leave you as orphans. I will take hold of you. I will father you. I will mother you. I will love you. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. This is Jesus himself in the power of the Holy Spirit come to be with us. When we sing songs to Jesus, Holy Spirit, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I will not leave you as orphans. Often heard Christians say they wish they could walk with Jesus. Well, you can. You can walk with him. You do walk with him. You love him. You obey his commandments. Having the Holy Spirit to be with us is just like having Jesus with us, but in a much more powerful way. Because he died and rose and ascended, he is now able to come again in glory into our hearts of individuals. Not as in the past, the Holy Spirit coming upon certain people at certain times for certain purposes. In the Old Testament teaching, certain times, certain purposes, certain people. Now for everyone and for any, I will pour out my spirit upon all. And that happened at Pentecost, and that's basically what he's teaching on. I will come to you. And he came to them at Pentecost. And he comes to us, our Pentecost. He will come to us. The Holy Spirit in us is just like having Jesus with us. Enabling the church to do even greater things. Last week, Becca mentioned this in John 14, verse 12. And it's a challenging passage, really. Very truly, that means absolutely. When the Bible says that, that's what that means. Absolutely true. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things. Where? Than these, because I am going to the Father, because Jesus ascended to the Father, was able to send down the Holy Spirit in order, enabling us to do even greater things. What's that mean? Raising the dead, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind? Well, that does happen in churches, but that's not it. It's enabling this message of God's love to be spread throughout the whole universe, throughout the whole world. Christianity standing on every continent and island on the face of the globe, spread out for all time and for all seasons. You will do much more than I could ever have done remaining in my humanity. A new force is now in the world, changing people's hearts and filling the world with the life-giving power of God that might bring renewal and revival to our dark and challenging world. As Christians, we have all the power we need for all the problems we face. I say that so many times. I'm beginning to believe it. All the power I need for all the problems I face, really. How come then I'm so grumpy? How come then I'm so weak and tired and so challenged? How come then I'm not what I wish I was as a Christian? Well, it's a good question. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, answers that question with five words. Shall we see that? Do not get drunk on wine. It leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Five words. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs and spirit. Be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not half filled. Filled. What does filled mean? It means to the very top. To almost overflowing. Okay, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How can that happen? I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've had the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. But we need to receive him. We need to get him again. We need to be refilled daily on a daily basis. We need to stay in touch with him. We need to connect with him. We need to make sure that we are walking with him, the Holy Spirit. We need to pray. That's the first thing we need to do. If we need the Holy Spirit, we want the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, we need to pray. We don't have to beg, we just have to ask. That's all you have to do. Just ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Just pray. In Mark 11, 22, 24, could we have that up, Dan? That would be good to see. Have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself in the sea, does not doubt in their hearts, but believes that what they say will happen, that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. How's your prayer life? How's our prayer life? Well, how are we doing? You just have to ask and you will receive. So pray and persevere in your praying and watch those mountains crumble to the sea. And the third P I have for you is prioritize. Pray, persevere in your prayer, but prioritize. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And in all these things that you're worrying about and all these things that you wish you had or haven't got will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Believe in God. Push into God. If you're going through bad times at this moment, keep pushing in. Do not give up. Please do not give up. Just keep going. It's just so easy to give up. But God is with you. He will bring you through. Push into God. Trust in God. I don't think we trust him enough. I honestly don't. I think we're frightened to come out of the shallows. I think we don't like to come too far into the love of God. Because we wonder what that's going to mean for us. But it won't mean anything but good. All that you are and all that you have will still be yours, but it'll be even more so. God will enable you to become what you're intended to become. What he desires you to become. And that's only good. It can only be good. Wonderful. Believe in God, push into God, trust in God. A man fell off a cliff, and as he was falling, he grabbed hold of a twig that was sticking out of the side of the cliff, and he was hanging there. And he said, "Is there anybody there?" And God's voice came and said, "Just let go." And the man said, "Is there anybody else there?" We don't trust him enough. I don't think we do. It's human nature, of course. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, who will enable you to be driven into all truth and understanding. I can remember praying about this once. Lord, I said, I want to belong. I want to be part of your kingdom building work. I want to believe, but I don't know. I can't. Is it true? All of this. And that prayer was answered within a week. And somehow in my spirit, I just believed so much. Every dot and comma of it. And I don't understand every dot and comma, but I believe it in my heart by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. And it was the most wonderful experience. I didn't have to keep worrying whether it was true or not, because I just knew the Holy Spirit led me into all truth, or is leading, continuing to lead me into all truth. Believe in God. You know, you find what loyal workers in the church, they've been here for years, and they're doing this and they're doing that, and suddenly they don't come anymore. Something's happened. Some light has gone out. Some flame has died down. You can sometimes find that in marriage. Faithful lovers married for donkey's years, and then suddenly they've divorced. The flame has died. The flame has gone. Something's happened. There's been a power cut of some kind. What's happened? Sometimes the devil, Satan, gets in. He aggravates. Challenges, gets in under the skin and brings bad stuff. That's what he desires for us. Satan, the devil. Other times it's just us. Our attitudes and our selfishness and things like that. Thoughts and choices, bad choices that we make. All sorts of things. Don't be one to give up on God in dark times. There is nothing that is impossible for God. I don't know anything about any of you really, but I know this. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives in all sorts of ways, for all sorts of reasons. Don't be the one to give up on God in dark times. Nothing is impossible. No one too lost. No attitude too entrenched. No mountain too high. Don't look at the circumstances that you're going through, but look at God in the circumstances. And then a spirit of peace, believe me, will descend. You've experienced it, I'm sure. A spirit that only God can give you, that passes all understanding in the situation that you're in. A peace, verse 27, a peace will descend, not as the world gives. You know, sometimes I think if I need peace in my life, I need to get on holiday. I need to get on a plane and go to a lovely beach somewhere and relax and blue sky and turquoise seas. And oh, those were the days. But that's not where I need peace. I need peace in the eye of the storm. I need peace when things are going wrong. I don't want to go searching for some tranquil place in order to find peace. I need it here and now when I'm going through this or that or the other and trying to make a decision about something, trying to cope with something. And as I said earlier, this world is such a dark place in lots of ways. None of us get out alive. So many challenges. We mustn't lose sight of the power that God can give us. The spirit of peace will descend. A peace in the eye of the storm. I don't know where I heard this quote, but I'm ending with this. Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Where are you in all this? Where are we in all this? Somewhere in the shallows, splashing about, thinking, half in, half out, up to you. Have you swam with God? Have you let go and let God in your life? If you've never done this, then I'd really encourage you in the next part of the service. We're going to have a couple of wonderful little songs, not little songs, lovely hymns, songs. I want to encourage you. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, I want to encourage you to come. We've got the prayer team. We're going to enable you, help you to respond to this message this morning. We all need to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Just come and pray. And God will answer your prayer. Amen.